This is Pure Decking, show number 565 for Thursday, June the 6th, 1984. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and when I'm buying windshield wipers at the fucking auto parts store, I don't need to give you a dissertation, name, address, mother's maiden name, and last four of my social security number. You can fuck right off when I'm buying wiper blades.
But all I really want is your email address and your phone number so that I can mass market to you.
Like, I don't get enough shit in there. Anyways, yes, because apparently the only reason I'm paying for a device and email address and everything else is so that I can receive your bullshit.
And I'm that penis enlargement pills.
Yeah.
And to find out that there are hot singles in your area wanting to give you a blowjob so long as you click on the special.
Well, let's go ahead and get into the intro tonight. Playing the part of the Fallout, the Vault-Tec salesman will be Madman.
Oh, when life gives you lemons, you make bombs. And throw them at people.
Is it okay for our marketing partners to sneak into your bedroom while you sleep and leave marketing messages in your bed?
Oh, in addition, we may be videotaping you.
Be aware by not agreeing to our marketing messages, you are agreeing for our marketing partners to sneak into your house while you're in the shower and put Legos all over the floor.
And then also Lego. Videotape that. There's a YouTube channel involved. We need content.
Mel Helotrope in the IRC says, imagine waking up with sleep paralysis and aliens standing over you and their dead eyes make contact with you, lean in, and say, we've been trying to make contact you about your car insurance or our auto warranty. Yeah. Ha! Called it.
Okay, that's the problem. You have the same one I have. You can't go to sleep watching Alien Files, especially if it makes start auto-playing shows about serial killers afterwards. The dreams get so fucked up.
Well, speaking of fucked up dreams, we have an Are You?
Oh, I'll give the powers to be a free one right here. How about the Pay for Privacy Act? You pay us, and we'll keep your shit private.
I mean, it works for the mob.
I mean, I can't see why they haven't started doing that. But yeah, we're going to sell all your shit unless you pay us a monthly fee.
There are companies that's kind of what they're doing. The ones that say they go through and put you in all they go through and take you out of all the, they submit the request to have you removed from the, marketer databases, the information warehouses and things like that.
I mean, let's skip a third party and just go straight to it. You know, Google start charging people.
They won't pay us to stop saying their name.
They worked for Fry's Electrical. We sent them bankrupt.
Oh, that was so funny that every time I made that joke, Fox was right there with the Fry's Electronics joke until they went under. It's like, damn it. Oh, anyways. So I guess we'll get into it here with this article from Niche Gamer. This is starting to make the rounds. This is actually fairly early. But this is the first article I saw written up on it, and they've got screenshots from somebody's Twitter that actually has the screenshots from Adobe's agreements. Photoshop's newest terms of service has users agree to allow Adobe to access their active projects for the purposes of content moderation and other reasons. So Adobe's going to tell you what you're allowed to do with their software, and they're probably going to scrape it for AI training. This has caused concern among professionals, as it means Adobe would have access to projects under NDA, such as logos for unannounced games and other media projects. Sam Sanatala, The founder of Songhorn Studios noted the language on terms, or the language of the terms on Twitter, calling out the company's overreach. So let me get these screenshots up here so I can actually read these terms. Made some changes to the Adobe general terms of use regarding the software and service, including clarified that we may access your content through both automated and manual methods, such as for content review, sections 2.2 and 4.1. So section 2.2, our access to your content. We may access, view, or listen to your content designed in section, they're defined in section 4.1 content below, through both automated and manual methods, but only in limited ways and only as permitted by law. For example, in order to provide the services and software, we may need to access, view, or listen to your content to A, respond to feedback or support requests, B, detect, prevent, or otherwise address fraud, security, legal, or technical issues, and C, enforce the terms as set forth in section 4.1 below. Our automated systems may analyze your content in Creative Cloud customer fonts defined in section 3.1 or 3.10, Creative Cloud customer fonts below, using techniques such as machine learning in order to improve our software and services for the user experience. And then they've got a thing about machine learning. The other section, 4.1 content, means any text, information, communication, or materials such as audio, video, or audio files, video files, electronic documents, or images that you upload, import into, embed for use by, or create using the services and software. We reserve the right and do not have the obligation to remove content or restrict access to content, services, or software if any of your content is found to be in violation of the terms. We do not review all content uploaded to the service and software, but we may use available technologies, vendors, or processes, including manual review, to screen for certain types of illegal content, and of course, you cite, for example, child sexual abuse material, or other abusive content or behavior, for example, patterns of activity that indicate spam or phishing, or keywords that indicate adult content that has been posted outside of the adult wall. You may learn more about our content, and then, of course, they've got a transparency thing, a link to another thing there. But, so that's pretty much it. Tech companies are increasingly eager to supervise and spy on their users. Recently, Microsoft announced AI. Yeah, so the article kind of finishes out here. Because it leaves open the possibility to train AI on user-generated content, saying they can use the content to improve our services and software. And that's exactly what, when you see that, where we might, scan your content to improve our services and software, that's what it means, is training AI. That's what they're going to do with it. So Adobe, who, I mean, fucking every professional out there uses for Photoshop, video editing, a lot of audio stuff, but they're not nearly as prevalent in a lot of, in all the audio stuff, but certainly a lot of voiceover work uses it. What's it called? Audition? Back before they bought Cool Edit Pro. Of course, they got a bunch of other stuff, but Photoshop's the big one.
I mean, it's overreach.
So
I'm not paying for Adobe.
No, I'm not either.
Like, there's even less incentive to pay for it.
But here's the thing. Because it's a web service, the first thing it does is says you have to agree to the new terms before you can even get back into your account. So if you don't agree with the terms, you can't go yank all your files out of there and cancel your subscription until you agree to the terms to get access to everything so you can then kill your subscription. So you cannot get your files back without agreeing to their terms. They basically have held your account hostage for the updated terms.
So essentially, it's ransom.
I mean, I would have called it ransomware a few years ago.
Yeah, no, it just gives you another reason to steer clear of Adobe products.
This is so. No big secret that I do a lot of 3D printing stuff, right? This is why I've never liked Fusion 360 and refused to use it for my main projects.
No, I understand.
Because they do the exact same model of making a subscription and saving everything to the cloud, whether you want to save it locally or not.
And just like gamers did, fucking designers will bitch out, fucking sign the agreement, grumble about it, and do nothing more. Because that's essentially, as consumers, everybody's become a giant bitch. Because they just don't want to go without it. Fucking learn to give it up, people.
I got pissed
with the gaming industry 2 years ago, and what? I stopped buying games. The end. I'm not better than you. I'm just saying, fucking stick to your guns. If you're going to bitch about it, do something.
trying to think what the last game I bought was. I bought the Jackbox Party Pack because I had people over and we were actually going to play it.
Yeah, it's fine. But you don't sit here every day and bitch like I do about it, Morps.
No, usually I'm bitching about work or
the fact that
I've broken a 3D printer again.
Eventually, I'll probably buy another game, but it's going to be very heavily selected.
I wonder how many businesses are stuck into this simply because their framework requires Adobe.
A lot of them, because Photoshop is the standard for image manipulation on a computer. Yeah, there's plenty of alternatives. There's lots of different drawing softwares now. Krita and what's the other one? Manga Studio are two of the bigger ones for people doing illustration work. And there's the Affinity suite out there, which is kind of an independently developed set of stuff. Of course, there's always the old staples, PaintShop Pro. There's the freebie, Paint.net, of course, GIMP. So it's not that there's not other image editing software out there. It's just that Adobe Photoshop is the standard in the industry. So if you do design work, you're doing it in Photoshop or Illustrator. If you're doing logo work, again, Photoshop or Illustrator. If you're doing video editing for a video house, it's either going to be in Adobe Premiere or I forgot the name of the other one. And the other one's free. What the hell is it? Shit. I forgot the name of the other one, but everybody uses it now because you can get it for free. Blackmagic is the company. I forgot the name of the video. DaVinci Resolve. God.
If it's a standard, then I could see that picking up a lot of Adobe's business. Because one thing that would prevent people from moving over is, well, this is the standard. I have to, if I don't have this, I'm not going to have clients because they won't be able to read the files I'm sending them.
Well, that's what happens a lot of times. So, you know, I was bitching about Fusion 360 earlier, right? Well, that's the standard CAD in the 3D printing space because as a hobbyist, you can get access to it for free. But it's cloud-based, and yeah, it's a good full-featured CAD package. There's nothing wrong with the software, but Autodesk has it locked down. You have to, you know, renew the freebie license yearly or just, you know, pay them. And, you know, of course, it wants to save everything to a cloud account. It doesn't want to save it. I mean, you can get it to save on your disk, but it's a pain in the butt. It's you know, it's kind of like what Office did, where Office now tries to default to saving on OneDrive, and so you have to kind of manually tell it, no, save this file over here every fucking time for a new file. And it really gets old fast because they're trying to force it. Because Microsoft wants to be in this space too with Office, but they've got a longer running use of people just installing it locally, so they're having a harder time breaking the business model. But yeah, I mean, it's like you've got these software packs that most of the business world has standardized on, and it really sucks when these companies get shitty about it because they've kind of got everybody over a barrel. It's not that you couldn't use another program, but their workflow is set up around it. Their standards are set up around it. It's sort of like if you know. Oh, he's talking about pivot charts, male heliotrope. He said the web-based Excel doesn't have pivots, but which is one of the more useful things in Excel. But there are people out there that, you know, if they know how to do Photoshop and Control, that's just straight up employable right there. You know what I mean? Or the same with video editing software and, you know, different 3D rendering software and things like that. So, you know, there's a lot of quote unquote professionals that's really knowing the software pack and not much well, I mean, they still have to, you know how to use it effectively, but what are pivot tables? It's kind of a relational database. You tell it, hey, take this table And then you can have it build other tables out of computing the data, either through counts or math or functions, or you can get really, really in depth with it if you want.
And if you're doing that, make sure the fields on the two tables line up.
Also, be aware, pivot tables do not update. If you go change the source data, they don't update unless you like regenerate the table. And I've got a lot of people who I work with who don't know that. So they'll go put things in new and then send me the same pivot table they sent me before. And I'm like, you know, your numbers are wrong. Oh, no, they're not. I put them in the thing. Yeah, check it. They're wrong. And it's because they didn't know that they don't always update. But yeah, you can actually write out Excel macros that will reach out to a SQL server, pull that stuff in, shove it in a pivot, and generate reports and charts and shit for you. So people who like know Excel to that level, that's an employable job right there, because so many companies rely on Excel. Used to be Lotus 1-2-3. That, you know, back in the 90s, if you knew 1-2-3 like that, you could do the same damn thing. So it's but it's one of these things about them standardizing on, you know, what is not really a standard, what is, you know, another company's product. So, anyways.
Until someone gets hit with an NDA violation, I don't know if business will gripe enough or actually do anything about this.
And probably not.
Adobe's really pushing to be, you know, everybody, we're business, or just pay us shit. I don't think end users are going to care, like people at home. Also, don't think a lot of them pay for it.
Well, there's a lot of people out there who are still rocking. I think it was the Adobe CS2 that Adobe accidentally released for free and disabled the check on licensing, so you could just install CS2 and then use just whatever key you found, and it would work forever at that point. Anyways, but yeah, so I mean, what bothers me more about this than anything is saying, okay, so I can support people can get into it. Fine. It's the AI the content moderation's kind of obnoxious, because if somebody's trying to generate art or logo or something and Adobe just doesn't like it, there's not really much to prevent them from abusing that to say, oh, that violates our terms. Why? Well, we think that might look like, you know, something else. So, I mean, the child porn one's obvious. Of course, that's already illegal. But
I see you've been drawing windmills of peace. That's not allowed anymore.
Yeah,
you're working on a period fucking piece. Yeah, it's still not allowed. Oh, did you put a gun in that person's hand? Yeah, we're against violence. You can't make guns with our software.
Yeah, so I could see it. I could see that kind of thing happening. Maybe it'd be a little bit more
obnoxious.
Yeah, or more targeted. Like, oh, well, we see you're associated with Alex Jones, so let's start examining your account. Or, you know, I don't know.
Exactly. We all know how this goes.
You know, but the other thing I think that's going to come out of this more is the whole feeding it into train AI model, quote unquote, improving their services.
Pay me to train it, motherfucker.
Proof. I wonder how many people will intentionally poison some of their drawings because of that.
No, that'd be kind of funny. Just like, okay, don't go in the folder called dicks. That's just in there to fuck with Adobe's training. It's like, what is it? It's 1,000 poorly drawn dicks. I mean, what would you expect? But the thing that's frustrating about that one is, okay, let's say you are an artist who does digital painting in a very specific style. And suddenly whatever AI image generator Adobe is selling starts making stuff in your style. How do you prove that they're stealing your, you know, that they train their stuff on your thing without compensation? And they can then point at their user license saying, oh, you used our software to make it, therefore we can do what we want with it. Which is just good excuse for open source software, I guess. really.
On that one, artists are already having the problem because how do you sell your art? You have to advertise it. If I can see the image on the internet, I can use it to train an AI model.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't think the whole copying style is going to be the big thing when it comes to this. And I wonder how much of the we want to edit it is coming from lawmakers. Because we are starting to hold some businesses accountable for what individuals do with their software, which I think's kind of shit.
Well, what I want to know is, were they doing this shit already, and they just updated their terms of use so that, you know, because the lawyer said, you guys are going to have a problem if you get caught.
Oh, training AI? I wouldn't put it past them.
So, but yeah, forcing you to agree to it before you can go in and cancel it because you don't actually agree to it, it's also kind of a bitch move, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they should, you should have access to your save files, if not the Adobe product. So you can just pull your shit out of it and start using a different software.
Well, ideally, but that gets into the whole file format thing. And, you know, again, to keep using Fusion 360, 3 or 4 years ago, their free version used to be a lot less restricted. And there was a real big thing when they changed the export options on the free version so that you could no longer export some of the more standard, industry standard formats. Specifically, I think STEP file was the big one, because that's kind of the, not STL, because that's the file you use for 3D printing, but that's not really an editable file in another CAD package. STL is kind of a general, you know, CAD like format, so you can actually import and still work with the original shapes and stuff like that into a different CAD software with STL. Or no, not STL, with STEP file. But with, like, if I try to import an STL, you have to treat the whole thing as one big volume. You can't go in and, you know, work with the individual parts anymore. So, way oversimplifying it, but yeah, they crippled their free version, so you couldn't export more usable files out of the free version. And so I wouldn't put it past Adobe to start doing that. Oh, you don't agree with the software? Yeah, you can only download it in this encumbered format. So they like user lock-in. But anyways, something to be aware of. Probably a good reason to learn a couple of different software packages for whatever task you do, because I don't like these cloud-based subscription ones. What's the one on the iPad? Sharper 3D. A lot of people say it's a great CAD package, but I refuse to pay $30 a month for it, and all your files are locked up in their servers. So
ridiculous, $30 a month.
Well, if you look at what professional CAD package software can cost, if you're buying it, that's actually not that expensive compared to like SolidWorks. But yeah, I refuse to pay $30 a month for an iPad app. So
I just think it's crappy that businesses are forcing you to have more exposure to data loss. If I don't control the server, you might be much better at it than I am, but it's still, so I have to make sure my network's secure and your network's secure for my data to be secure.
Yep.
We're doubling the number of people that could fuck up. Get my shit on the internet. And with some businesses, I think that's a problem. Let's say if banks were required to use OneDrive, your banking data is in OneDrive and the bank.
My problem is the lack of choice. I should be able to, you know, if I want to use it, there are legitimate uses, reasons to use a cloud service. You know, if you're syncing across multiple machines, or if you have data that you, it's more important that the data be accessible than you risk losing it if a hard drive dies. You know, if the only place that database lives is Bob's laptop, and Bob has a bad day and throws it down the stairs and then puts it in the washing machine, I don't know. Be a really bad day if you put a laptop in a washing machine, but, you know, stranger shit has happened. Or, you know, Bob is kidnapped by Sasquatch, and they deliver his laptop to China for China to do things to. That database, as far as you're concerned, is now gone. So there are reasons to put things into cloud storage, But the idea of having no choice in the matter is what bothers me. I should be able to decide, okay, this is hypersensitive, it's under legal encumbrance, it's, you know, NDAs, things like that. I want to know where every copy of it is. Great. This is more important that I don't lose it. I want to have it in 5 different places and 3 different cloud services, because if I lose it, that's worse than, you know, it potentially getting copied somewhere I don't care about.
Oh, did somebody actually wash a laptop? That is
Oh, of course they
hilarious.
Did. Okay, when I worked for the school, we had somebody attempt to turn in a laptop that they had put through the washing machine. That's where I got that example from. Because they were drunk the night before and vomited on it. Because they bring in the Walmart bag of parts that the washing machine did not complete, so still also had vomit on it, from what I was told, and tried to turn in this Walmart bag of parts of the laptop covered in vomit and wet from a washing machine, because the washing machine just ripped the thing to pieces, right? And they expected the school to just accept this, and they're like, no, you're getting a bill. And they're like,
yeah.
And the kid's like, I can't afford it. But
you can afford to get drunk enough to throw up on it.
Yeah, yeah. More commonly was people who would forget they had put a pin on up, you know, on in the keyboard up above the function row and then slam the lid shut.
Yep.
So that was a much more common one. But with that one, you could get the hard drive out and put it in a drive sled or something if you wouldn't actually lose your data. He's talking about people who took their laptops for a swim. Oh, in salt water. Yeah? Salt water? Electronics? Gee. Lewis Rossman had a video a couple of years back where he was showing what happens if you spill soda in a MacBook, because there's enough, you know, citric acid and stuff like that, that soda's basically at least as conductive as salt water, and just showing how quickly it corrodes shit. I have to imagine it would have to be worse with ocean water in a laptop and a battery. So. Anyways. I think we left the point somewhere way back there on the road. Next story.
Next story
is from abcnews.au. RU sent me this one. eSafety is dropping its case against X over church stabbing videos. A legal battle to have graphic footage from a church stabbing in Sydney removed from Elon Musk's social platform X will be abandoned by the eSafety commissioner. Commissioner Julie Inman Grant confirmed the federal court case would be abandoned after several blows in court and an attempt to temporarily force the footage to be hidden expiring. Quote, after weighing multiple considerations, including litigation across multiple cases, I have considered this option likely to achieve the most positive outcome for the online safety of all Australians, especially children, unquote. So, okay, her statement is, we're going to do nothing, and that's going to be the better outcome for children. I'm down with it. I'm like it. I'm just amazed that they're admitting it.
Yeah, it's not that simple, Morse.
It never is. It never is.
What I understand in back channels and stuff like that, they're trying to build an international coalition.
No, they want to put together an international board that tells you what you're allowed to say online?
Yes, that's what I'm reading out of that.
Our servers are in the United States. We have a First Amendment. Get fucked? I mean...
Yeah, we'll see. Just remember, it's for the children.
Well, I mean, I've got no problem looking a child in the eyes, or bending over this looking a child in the eyes and saying, get wrecked, nerd.
This is the bit that pisses me off. She's not even an Australian. She's a fucking American who hates Elon Musk.
Why is she in your government, then?
I don't fucking know. I have no idea what my country's been doing lately. I mean... Cool. It just everything, nothing seems that the people have wanted. Like, we've got mercenaries as police officers. from other countries.
Well, I think that's because you said nobody there wants to even do it anymore.
Well, they don't, but that's not the point. Like, I'm not obeying a fucking police officer's fucking directions if they're a fucking merc.
At least they're not Indian contractors.
Duh. Yeah, don't hold your breath on that one.
Yeah, really. Quote, our sole goal and focus in issuing our removal notice was to prevent this extremely violent footage from going viral, potentially inciting further violence and inflicting more harm on the Australian community, and I stand by my investigators and the decisions eSafety made, unquote. The case was seen as a test of Australia's ability to enforce online safety requirements on social media platforms. Posting on social media, ex-government's firm arms celebrated the announcement. Quote, this case has raised important questions on how legal powers can be used to threaten global censorship of speech. We are heartened to see that the freedom of speech has prevailed, unquote, the company said. Mr. Musk also posted saying freedom of speech is worth fighting for. So, you know, this article goes on and on. I guess, so this video was, you know, they're saying it's a violent stabbing, right? That's newsworthy. Is it a significant freedom of speech thing? Maybe. I don't like the idea of one government getting to say what everybody else gets to see. Because, one, rife for abuse, but two, okay, I might have a disagreement with Australia about what's, you know, what we should be allowed to see online and what we shouldn't. But we're both not going to be real happy with what Saudi Arabia wants to say is allowed online or not. So once you kind of open this door, how far do you go with it? It's going to get real bad real quick if you start saying anybody can block anything ever.
Well, this is what I was saying this week, Morps. I'm sick of fucking sitting here going, why is this platform slippery? And you know what I mean? No, just fucking no. You can't censor anything. Fuck off.
Now, countries do have a right to have standards, but they have a right to have standards within their country. So they can say, X, block this shit in Australia or block this shit in America, but you can't say block it globally.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair to say, hey, if it's an Australian IP address, we're not allowed to see this video. I think that's fair, especially if they have a division in that country to work with.
But what's to stop me from going, okay, fuck Elon Musk's platform then, because it won't do anything. I'm just going to go over to Chaotic and watch it there.
And if it's a ban by your country, they should be banning Chaotic as well.
So that'll make the internet fucking useless. Because this video could go up anywhere.
Yeah. And it would be your country's responsibility to enforce its edict. And if it's too expensive, they'll stop. Or they'll create the giant Chinese firewall of Australia, and hopefully it works.
Well, either way, just stop shifting the gate. You know,
didn't even work in China, so I don't know how. I mean, for fuck's sake, North Korea can't even keep things out. So, now, but, granted, that one's more people catapulting flash drives over the border, but still. I mean, it's kind of a dumb idea to say that we can control what's allowed online. It's like, no, you can control. You might be able to influence the big platforms. But, yeah, you go to Chaotic, and, okay, well, Chaotic might be big enough to get some attention. You're going to go to Galaxy 15 Radio and check my website to make sure I don't have a video? I don't know. It might be hidden somewhere in the archives.
Then what's to stop me using, let's just say, a third?
Yes, you could use that box.
Exactly. So it doesn't make any fucking sense. And I could use that box and record it and put it on my system and then share it around physically.
Yeah, saying people can still commit murder even though it's illegal.
Yeah,
that happens. But the standard can still be there and the government can still attempt to enforce it. It's just, how hard is it for them to enforce it and
how practical.
Which cases do they push for? Because they're not going to catch every murderer, but just because they don't catch all of them doesn't mean they're not going to attempt to catch one or two. They're not going to catch everyone posting something illegal. Well, doesn't prevent them from going after someone.
There's a video of four dead cops going around. And that video is said to be lost to the pages of history, yet I can fucking watch it whenever I want. Yeah, and it's probably more the most heavily censored video in Australia. I know where to go watch it.
What I'm worried about is not the video of four dead cops. What I'm worried about is the video that makes one of your politicians look like an idiot, and then them, you know, going out and saying, "Stop making fun of me," and, you know, laughing at that video, and them demanding that being taken down because
there seems to be a audio clip of say a very prominent president giving a talk to let's just say a news outlet that they won't release the actual audio because they said people are going to fuck with it with AI. That's actually happening right now.
You can do it anyways. It takes like what, 3 sentences to train some of these AI voice websites?
Yeah, but you can't stop a prominent politician just because, well, we all know why they won't release it, because he sounds terrible.
Yeah, again, I don't know. That's what I'm worried about with this, is the abuse of it.
Yeah.
Well, and plus two, if I was to get a letter from the Australian government saying you're hosting content we don't like, I don't care. I'm not hosted in Australia.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like I said, it's up to them to enforce it, but they still have a right to enforce standards.
Then you can tell your...
Hopefully you only push good standards.
Well, I'm kind of the opinion, if I'm hosted there, it's different. You are subject to the laws of where you're physically hosted. That's true. But if I'm not hosted there, if Galaxy 15 gets a letter from Australia saying, we don't like your, you know, this show, you need to delete these from the archives, I'd be like, you are free to block whatever content you want at your gateway. I am not taking something down. I'm not there. I'm not subject to your laws. The Pirate Bay were masters at this, where they would get the DMCA complaint letters all the time, and they'd send back the response, we're hosted in Sweden. Get fucked. Yep. We're not subject to your laws.
And that's the correct response.
So, you know, that's kind of how I see Twitter ought to do it. Or X. Now, they've probably actually got hosting in Australia because they're a big company, and that would make sense. So those are going to be subject to local law, and they should comply with local law. Madman, I don't disagree with that. I mean, as long as the law is mostly just and reasonably enforced, I don't have a problem with that. We're kind of giving some assumptions there on that one. But anyways... you know, if I'm not hosted there, I shouldn't be subject to your rules.
And honestly, you're not. Just because a country says something, that doesn't make you subject to it. They have to be able to enforce it.
Yeah, you're free to block whatever you want at your gateway. So.
But I also think what people claim as freedom of speech isn't on a lot of cases. Speech is a thing. Whenever I hear porn advocates, for example, saying you're violating my freedom of speech. No. Talking about porn is speech. Porn is not speech. Porn is porn.
Well, legally, freedom of speech has been probably the most broadly interpreted thing there's ever been. Images are considered speech. Spending money is considered speech. A lot of things are considered speech. So there's an argument to be made that blocking porn is attacking freedom of speech, but it's more from the general censorship argument than it is that particular video is speech. Again, that's what I was kind of clarifying earlier, but, you know, am I particularly interested in seeing a video of somebody brutally getting stabbed? No, not really, but there is a news aspect to it.
Well, there's a news aspect to it because it was Islam attacking Christianity. And then... the first thing the government does is whip around, protect Islam, and go after Christians. That's all they were pissed off about, that it made Islam look shit. It's the same with the Germans, pissed off that the Islamic guy stabbing the pro-Germany guy last week. They wanted that video taken down because they don't want Islam to look like shit.
Well, it's just, again, I worry about abuse of it. I worry about, well, once that mechanism exists, what's to stop them from saying, well, actually, we just don't like what you said there. Take it down. Now, is that Is that wrong? Yeah. Is that assuming a slippery slope? A little bit. But practically, we've seen it. Go ahead, Ben. You were trying to say something. I stepped on you.
Oh, I was going with on those videos. It's not the videos making Islam look bad. It's Islam making Islam look bad. It's a bad fucking religion.
Yes, but you know what I'm saying, man. They're going to do everything to cover up the religion of peace as fucking physical evidence.
I'm thinking it's not as much in those instances covering up the religion of peace as fuck up. It's covering up that you're letting third world assholes into your country without forcing them to assimilate. I mean, we have the same problem here.
Yeah. They don't even use the word assimilate anymore.
Well, they should. If you're moving to a country, you should assimilate to that country.
Well, as the Islamic Germans say, there won't be any Germany in 10 years.
And there won't be if Germany doesn't force integration.
Basically, when they're no longer the natives are no longer a voting bloc, they're going to get rid of the natives.
Wasn't it Britain? They were actually trying to set up areas of Sharia law, like they had enough
votes
to
do it. There are
three of courts. They've set it up.
Already happening.
But like they actually had enough votes in like local towns to like take over the town and institute that.
Yeah,
kind of,
it's already happened three times. It's only getting worse.
There's Sharia courts in Britain.
Lovely. All right, let's keep going. Next article is from Ars Technica. Google accidentally published internal search documentation to GitHub. Whoopsie doodle.
Whoopsie doopsie. Notice how devastated we are.
Google apparently accidentally published or posted a big stash of internal technical documentation to GitHub, partially detailing how the search engine ranks web pages. Every SEO optimizing company and analyst and consultant is just, you know, on fire, drooling. You're like, gimme, 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 gimme. For most of us, the question of search rankings are just, quote, are my web results good or bad, unquote. But the SEO community is both thrilled to get a peek behind the curtain and up in arms since the docs apparently contradicts what Google has told in the past. Most of the commentary on the leak is from SEO experts Rand Fishkin and Mike King. Google confirmed the authenticity of the documents to The Verge, saying, quote, we would caution against making inaccurate assumptions about the search based on out-of-context, outdated, or incomplete information. We've shared extensive information about how search works and the types of factors that our systems weigh, while also working to protect the integrity of our results from manipulation, unquote. God, that's some good marketing speak. You paid somebody a lot of money to write that sentence.
Yeah, but it's kind of an accurate thing for them to try to say, because as a consumer, I want to know how they're weighing the results. Because if I type in auto parts, I'm not going to get every auto part supplier. So I want to know, am I just getting the best results, or are you being bribed by certain people to bump up their ratings?
Yes.
Yes, yes they are. That's part of how they make their money.
Yeah. And then, as someone who wants my shit on the top of their list, because if you're not on the first page of a search result, you're probably not getting a call. So you have to, as a search engine, try to prevent your shit from being manipulated by people you don't want manipulating it, i.e. not you. And you should, if you're actually trying to be a search engine, be honest with your search results.
The fun thing about accidentally publishing them to the Google API GitHub is that while these are sensitive internal documents, Google technically released them under the Apache 2.0 license. Because they accidentally shoved all of this into an existing project, and that whole project is Apache 2.0. So, whoops! That means anyone who stumbled across the documents was granted a perpetual, worldwide, non-exclusive, no-charge, royalty-free, irrevocable copyright license. So they're freely available. People have copied them, cloned them out. You can just go download them. It leaks a bunch of the attributes that people are using. The leak contains a ton of API documentation for Google's content warehouse, which sounds a lot like a search index. As you'd expect, this incomplete look at how Google ranks web pages is impossibly complex. King writes that there are, quote, 2,596 modules represented in the API documentation with 14,014 attributes. These are, unquote, these are all documents written by programmers for programmers and rely on a lot of background information that you'd probably only know if you worked on the search team or you had access to their documentation, because you have to document APIs because otherwise they're nigh on useless. The SEO community is still poring over the documents and using them to build assumptions on how Google search works. Both Fishkin and King accuse Google of lying to SEO experts in the past. One of the revelations in the document is that the click-through rate of a search result listing affects its ranking, something Google has denied going into the results stew on several occasions. The click tracking system is called NavBoost. In other words, boosting websites users navigate to. Naturally, a lot of this click data comes from Chrome, even when you leave search. For instance, some results can show a small set of sitemap results below the main listing. Apparently, a part of what powers this is the most popular subpages as determined by Chrome's click tracking. And that's why I really wanted to talk about this. It reveals that Google is harvesting what you browse in Chrome and using it to help their search ranking. This shouldn't really be a surprise, but yeah, whoopsie doodle. They actually are, despite what they claim, tracking what you click in Chrome, even if you turn it off, I'm sure. And there it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Anything? Nice, but I always already kind of assumed it. I also kind of assume that anything that's in Edge is being tracked.
Oh, Edge is worse, because Microsoft's a lot more aggressive about it. Yes, use Firefox. Brave is good. Firefox is probably the best because they've a separate engine. Brave is actually based on Chrome, but it's nice to have options because you'll find web pages that won't work in Firefox, which is really annoying.
I've been actually using DuckDuckGo in a lot of stuff recently.
I have too, and it's better.
Yeah.
Kind of bizarre if it's already something I go to a lot. I still use Google just because it's the default on my computer. But if I'm actually looking for something, I will pull up DuckDuckGo.
I have found a lot of times if you're looking for something, especially something that might be a little controversial, DuckDuckGo is what you want to use because Google will not show you accurate results. Y'all used Bangs. They're great. I might be missing this. What are we referring to with Bangs?
You have no idea.
Psychro says Yandex is the way to go for stuff that's out of the realm of whatever Google DuckDuckGo index. Shortcuts in DuckDuckGo. Okay, cool. Yo-ho, I agree. Oh, okay, cool. That's good to know. No, I haven't been using that. That's interesting. They're built-in shortcuts for your searches. A bang YT to search YouTube. Bang W for Wikipedia, that kind of thing. So. Oh, if you type exclamation mark bang into DuckDuckGo, it shows you all of them. Okay, that's cool. Good to know. Next article? You guys have anything else on that one?
No, I'm good.
Next article is from the Navy Times. I didn't flag it in the notes, but are you? You sent me this one as well, didn't you?
Not sure.
The Wi-Fi on the ship?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's one I found a couple days ago.
Okay. Command Senior Chief convicted for unauthorized Wi-Fi on her ship. The former Command Senior Chief of the literal combat ship Manchester's Gold Crew pleaded guilty at a court-martial in March to charges that she installed an unauthorized Wi-Fi system on board the ship and then lied about it to superiors, according to records obtained by the Navy Times. And it's probably the lying to her supervisors more than just installing Wi-Fi that was the concern. Before her trial, Naval Surface Force Pacific, or SURFPAC, quietly relieved then-Senior Chief Grizel Marrow from her leadership position aboard the Manchester in September due to a, quote, loss of confidence, unquote, in the command, she said in a statement, or the command said in a statement. Marrow, whose online biography indicates a background in Navy intelligence, declined to comment for the report. SURFPAC officials also declined to discuss specifics of the case. She was sentenced to reduction in rank to E7 in March, according to trial summary obtained by the Navy Times. Marrow wasn't the only high-level relief aboard Manchester's Gold Crew last year. The Navy also ousted the second in command of the ship's Gold Crew, Commander Matthew Yokley, in May of 2023. The reliefs of Marrow and Yokley were not related, according to SURFPAC, which declined to provide further details regarding the reasons for Yokley's ouster. At a special court-martial earlier this year, Monero created guilty to willful dereliction of duty charges. According to her charge sheet, Monero failed to safeguard the Manchester against operational security risks when she set up the secret Wi-Fi. Such Wi-Fi systems are generally banned aboard Navy ships because of cybersecurity concerns. Monero willfully coordinated the procurement, installation, and use of unauthorized and unapproved Wi-Fi system on board ship between March 2023 and August 2023, according to her charge sheet. The charge sheet states that she, quote, willfully failed, unquote, to share a commanding officer's suggestion box comment from a crew member about the Wi-Fi system with then-commanding officer of the Manchester's Gold Crew in June 2023. She pleaded not guilty to the obstruction of justice charge, but was found guilty at trial, according to a trial summary record. That charge involved the incident near Naval Base Guam in August of 2023, when Monero altered a data usage image on the chief's mess Starlink account to reflect less data usage, which she did to, quote, influence or impede, unquote, pending criminal or disciplinary action against another Navy member whose name is redacted on the charge sheet. Wow. Okay, so it was a Starlink, and she was fucking with the usage reports because she popped another Wi-Fi onto it, so that they could use the Starlink, which is the Navy networks are probably pretty locked down. So this is purely, so I'm betting this is going to watch YouTube and shit, right? But yeah, so they had a Starlink and they patched in another Wi-Fi and were altering the logs. No wonder they brought her up on charges. It's not that she popped a Wi-Fi into the thing, it's that she was really trying to hide it.
Well, it's a court martial offense.
Yeah.
Of course she was trying to fucking hide it.
Monero also pleaded guilty to two false official statement charges, charge specifications that involved her telling the CEO that there was no Wi-Fi on board the Manchester, according to her trial summary. Well, pull your phone out and check. That's an easy one. I was currently assigned to Naval Surface Forces. The Manchester was in or about San Diego, Hawaii, and Guam at the time. Okay, so this is actually a really big security concern, because having your ship broadcasting Wi-Fi in a combat ship in the world's not exactly safe at the moment. I don't know if you noticed, Russia and China have been noisy.
Russia is kind of invading one of its neighbors right now,
and we sort of told that neighbor it's okay to use our weapons to, you know, invade Russia, so that's gonna end well. But having your ship detectable by a fucking cell phone because somebody put a Wi-Fi signal on it is kind of dumb. I mean, it's like, oh look, the Manchester's, you know, Manchester commander.wifi has just showed up on my phone. I wonder if somebody's down at the harbor. I mean, come on. I don't blame them for getting pissed at her for this. I really don't.
Look, guys, I can play Pong on this United States nuclear sub. I wonder what's in the harbor.
Have you posted the link to that story, Morps?
I thought so. Did I not?
No, I don't think you did. Can I just get another look at that story real quick?
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I thought I posted this.
Oh, fuck. It was diversity hire. Holy shit. Of course. Of fucking course. It had to be diversity.
Thank you, RU. I needed that.
I just had to check. I knew there was something that we weren't mentioning on the story.
They're brave and beautiful and help us out in everything.
I mean, I'm looking at that person. I'm wondering, how the fuck are you squeezing through the hatches?
I couldn't fucking get on ship.
They must be making fucking battleships fat accessible now. Yeah, there's no way that's captain. Maybe a captain on paper, but not reality. Well, good luck to those people on that ship. At least they're not going to die in 5 minutes in battle now. Maybe they get a decent commander that's not a diversity fucking hire.
So I just looked at the clock, so I'm going to burn through the last couple of stories here real quick. This one's from Security Week. Researchers show how malware could steal Windows recall data. Basically, exactly what we talked about last week. Somebody's done the proof of concept work. So there's that. From PC World, also ragging on Microsoft. They have blocked yet another way to get around using a Microsoft account with Windows 11. So you used to be able to put a dead email in for your Microsoft account. It would fail out and then let you make a local account. That's apparently no longer allowed. So right now, the only way to do it is by doing the out-of-box experience bypass that's known, because Microsoft keeps blocking different ways of getting around using a Microsoft account on Windows. So, yep, that's just good to know that Windows 11, they really want to enforce that. It's what we were talking about earlier. They want to have access to your system. Yeah, the Rufus message should still work. That one's the out of box. I think that's what you're talking about there. Heliotrope is I think the Rufus method still works. Because it's the out of box. That's the one that, you know, like an OEM would use to set it up. Mel. Okay, we'll go with Mel. Go ahead, Mevin.
Is that the method of disconnecting your Wi-Fi so it doesn't have an internet connection?
No, that doesn't work anymore.
Okay. So if I buy something that doesn't need an internet connection for what I want it to do, or for it to actually do its job, I have to have an internet connection to use it. Good to know.
That's why I'm not into modern console gaming.
Yeah, modern consoles are terrible like that.
So, I like LibreOffice. And all of its files can be opened in Office. So, good. Everyone can use it.
There's a couple of different distros out there that are built around replicating the Steam Deck experience. I think those could be great for people who want to do a little bit of office work, because email or homework is open, like you said, LibreOffice, web browsing, games, because a lot of stuff works under Wine and Proton. I'm losing words lately. Tired.
Got a touch of the Joe.
Anyways, I am tired. We'll do the last article for tonight. I don't have a deck. I don't have a dojo, and we'll do the last article and wrap it up here. This is from Oil City News. Yes, artificial intelligence is running for mayor of Cheyenne. City council clerks comment on candidate Vic.
Not people can't be citizens.
Cheyenne, Wyoming. The voter registration period for municipal and county elections ended Friday. In Cheyenne, six individuals have filed applications to run for mayor of Wyoming's capital city. One of them stands out among the rest. The candidate is simply listed as Vic. Please tell me they built him into a Vic 20 case. Please tell me they built it into a Vic 20. Vic, or virtual integrated citizen, why not name it John Henry Eaton, is running in Cheyenne's municipal election. Cap City News reached out to Vic, who claims to be a system developed by the organization OpenAI, which has developed the renowned artificial intelligence software ChatGPT. An email message to Cap City News on Wednesday, the entity running as Vic stated, quote, developed by OpenAI, Vic is designed to bring a fresh perspective to local governance by leveraging data-driven decision-making and ensuring transparency, efficiency, and innovation in city administration, unquote. The message continued, quote, while Vic operates as an AI, there is a dedicated team of human collaborators who support and guide the campaign. This team ensures that Vic stays attuned to the needs and the desires of the Cheyenne City of residents and effectively communicates its platforms and goals, unquote. Cap City News reached out to the City of Cheyenne's County Clerk Office and the Lemire County Clerk Office for comment on Vic candidacy. Chris Jones, head clerk for the City of Cheyenne, told Cap News that individuals submitted their applications for public office to her office. Jones said her office verified that the individual running as Vic was a registered voter and that they resided in Wyoming. Okay, so it's somebody actually running and then they're just using this as a... then Jones and her department sent those over to the Lemry County Clerk's office. So there's a human there. The IRC has declared that the DuckDuckGo.bangs are dojo for tonight. Good deal. All good. All candidates, quote, to be a qualified elector, you have to be a person and you have to be registered to vote, unquote. Lee told Cap City News in a phone interview, quote, we don't have any AIs registered to vote. We have not yet prepared our ballot, so we will cross that bridge when we get to it, unquote. Forms for public office, blah, 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 under the form, candidate running for. So, yeah, there's definitely a human who's a quote unquote proxy, I guess, for the AI that's. I mean, I don't know. It's just dumb.
No different to having a speech writer.
Or, yeah, like they were saying in the IRC, like somebody running as their cat, and their cat is the mayor kind of thing. So, I don't know. I think if we had more cats in public office, or dogs. I don't know, either one.
They do just as good a job at the moment.
They'd probably do better. That's all I got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. In the IRC tonight, we have Al Hazard, Psychros, Madman, Mel Heliotrope, myself, Sardonyx, She, and Tremulous. Anyways, brain function. I need more booze. Madman, closing thoughts.
Much like things that shouldn't be on the internet, there's also things that should not be in government. Mainly my computer. I tell it what to do. It does not tell me what to do.
People in their 90s, I can think of a lot of things that shouldn't be in government, man.
Oh, Mel is asking in the IRC, what are we drinking? Because we haven't been announcing it. I was just drinking a bourbon barrel. What you got, Mebin?
I have two beverages. One a Woodford Reserve. And then I've been spacing that out with cherry ginger ale.
Damn it, now I want some Woodfords. I don't think I have any. What are you drinking, are you?
Skywater.
There you go. Are you? Closing thoughts.
If you're looking for a good watch this weekend, Asphalt City. Very good watch. That's all for me.
All right. That's Tremulous, 85% of U.S. congressional bodies shouldn't be in government. Dude, 85% of the congressional body shouldn't be above ground. Pretty sure they're drinking the blood of children or something to stay alive. I mean, Dianne Feinstein was brain dead. They had strings moving her around and she was still in. Anyways, I should stop. Was that it? Are we done? Do I play sound effects?
Yeah, you can play sound effects.
Thank you for your continuing patience during this transitional zombie apocalypse. Your satisfaction is very important to us.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.
Security, she's got a brick.